Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Code Brew. My name is Joseph.
My name is Andrew.
I'm Brandon.
And I am Dane.
Howdy, guys. Welcome. Before we get into this week's topic, how's everybody's week going? What are you guys doing?
Pretty good. I am studying for my next certification, going after the Google Professional Cloud Architect, or the PCA exam.
So, fancy pants.
Yep. It's an interesting exam because apparently, like, they don't focus as much on Google Cloud as the other Google Cloud certifications. Like, it seems to be more like, we just want you to know generally, can you architect software systems? So it's pretty cool.
Any reason in particular you're going after that, or?
My company's in GCP. Really, the main one. Yeah. Otherwise, I would probably be going after the solutions architect professional in AWS.
Gotcha. Cool. What about you, Andrew?
I'm just juggling a whole bunch of things right now between school and tutoring, and then this week at work actually is our first ever hack week, which if anybody who doesn't know what like a hack week or a hackathon is, we basically all of the engineers except for the like super high priority DevOps people basically stop doing their regular jobs, and you just take a week and get into groups and work on essentially whatever you want to work on, as long as you know it's something that's going to improve a process or create new revenue or you know do something related to the business. So it's kind of exciting. We're focused on a bunch of like SEO and analytics stuff for our project, and yeah it's a good time, but definitely busy.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think you've been on an episode since you started school, but do you want to tell everybody what you're going to school for?
Yeah, I'm going to a clown college because I'm a clown. No.
You graduated from there already.
I am lucky enough to work for an organization that not only offers to reimburse for some school, but in this particular case for a computer science degree, they offered to foot the bill completely. So I'm going back to school for computer science. Luckily, most of my schooling prior to this transferred over. So right now I'm knocking out some higher level math classes, and some random like humanities classes. And then I just have all my core CS classes. So I'm hoping that'll only take me like a year and a half because these are all like 8-week classes. Yeah, it's definitely weird being back in school. Definitely weird having to remember trigonometry and calculus, but it'd be like that sometimes.
Cool. How about you, Dane? How you doing?
Doing okay. Just honestly been doing more business stuff. So doing like kind of a seed round of funding. And that requires a lot of other skills like writing standard operating agreements and convening with lawyers and doing that while simultaneously redesigning the website and like the brand positioning as a result of the terms of those deals. So not that much dev, just a lot of really deep in the grid and both like the artistic and sense, and then also however that translates to CSS. So honestly, just doing some tried and true front end, which is kind of nice. It's kind of a different hat and I'm enjoying it. The business hats, yeah, managing employees. Had someone, one of my employees spent like $150 at Circle K today and got a notification. And I was like, whoa, what's that? And they just decided to pre-auth for that amount. I guess because I think the pre-authorization is probably based on the rate of gas, which makes sense why they pre-auth $125. I bet you some developer out there was like, oh, okay, well, we'll make it this rate times the gas rate. And it probably made sense when gas was $3 and they have an update or whatever it is. That's what I assume it is. So that was weird, but it turns out being like actually $12. So that was a weird thing because I messaged him. I was like, whoa, like, would you get it? I don't even know what you would buy at Circle K for that much. And they were like, what? So I was like, wait, never mind. But it's good to let them know I'm watching. So I'm just
kidding. Oh my gosh.
What about you, Joey? What have you been up to?
Just getting back into the swing of things after being out of work for last week. I was visiting with my mom. She came up and visited. So that was cool. So just kind of getting back. I feel like the week before I left was crazy busy. And then now the week that I'm back, it's also crazy busy because you're kind of, everybody's like, hey, I need this from you. Hey, I need you to do this. Hey. So, So just kind of getting back in the groove, but, nothing too exciting to report on, at work wise. Well, guys, I think this will be a fun topic for everyone. So have you guys ever been in a situation where you possibly felt like a fish out of water? This topic, I think, is pretty broad and can be pretty applicable to just about any career, I would say, or any creative endeavor, or I don't know, even just about anything, really. It's a pretty broad subject, but I think it gets talked about a lot in the dev world or for those who are just getting started. And that is the concept of imposter syndrome. And I guess maybe to get things started, do you guys remember maybe about the first time you might have felt like you first experienced it when you first started getting into coding, and maybe what that was like?
I'm trying to think of, like, the first time is hard because, to be honest, there are so many times. but I do remember, and Joey, you might remember this too, when we had the where we presented our capstone project, that like career fair from the boot camp, and we were presenting our project, and there was that one guy who seemed really into it, and then he like asked me a question that I didn't realize was like a technical question, and then he just kind of made me feel like a jackass because he's like, yeah, but how do APIs work? And I was like, I don't know, man, I just built this.
I do remember that. I remember, we had a few interesting characters, I think, that had come through our demo day. And Andrew, you made a good point. I think that this is something that was, we were going to get to, I think, later on in the discussion. But yeah, I think you brought it up, and it's pretty valid, and that it's something that you go through and most likely feel, it's not something you just feel maybe once, and it's not something you go through one time. I would say, I think there's it comes in waves perhaps. And I guess I just thought of maybe the first time, because I think, I don't know, that's just chronologically where I feel like how my brain thinks. But I think for me, I remember, I think it was just even in our, when we first started working on in our boot camp, Andrew, when we got our pre-work, and I remember just kind of going through the modules with that and struggling with basic, just how a table works in HTML, which is still awful and pain and still brings me immense sadness. So, but I just remember looking stuff up and like trying to find answers to things. And I don't know, there's just this feeling of like, okay, so there's just like doubt that can kind of like go over and wash over you. And then after you find that answer, that solution, or you refresh your browser because you didn't realize you weren't saving your code or you hadn't refreshed your browser or whatever, and depending on what you're doing, and you're like, oh cool, like you see this thing that this, you know, if you're doing front end work and the one little pixel that you're trying to mess with finally does what you want to, like you suddenly can feel like you're like, okay, awesome, you feel back on top. And then some time can go by, and then the new thing that you're learning or going through ends up being, you know, you just go back to that feeling again. And so I guess maybe for today, maybe if we want to talk about kind of what those kind of what the pro, like kind of that process of going through imposter syndrome and what that's like and your kind of experience with that.
I think it's interesting that you guys bring up boot camp, because I mean, I guess you guys were talking about the technical demonstration part of it, and you were talking to somebody who was like an infield expert. But I think during boot camp, I was feeling pretty good about myself. I mean, relative to my peers that were there, I was kind of crushing it way more than I should have been. Like, and maybe that was just my cohort or the group, the people that I was with. And I was with Jake, so that tells you a lot, right? That dude's terrible. I'm just saying, Jake was actually like, one person we immediately like gravitated to each other, because like you had to like understand what's going on here, like you understand that you don't understand, and that's like, yeah, let's do that. But I honestly don't know. I think I have a weird relationship with the imposter syndrome, because like, I mean, you could pick out any one of the things that I'm doing in my like career / entrepreneurship, whatever you want to, you know, whatever segment you want to pick out. It's like, yeah, I have no business doing that. I had no business building the application that I did when I first came into the previous company that eventually spin off into what I'm doing today. I already had no business doing that. I certainly don't have any business doing what I'm doing right now. I just don't. I'm not qualified at all to do that. I don't even have a CS degree, right? Like, I'm certainly not qualified to be a designer, and yet I still need front ends. I'm certainly not qualified to be a business owner. Like, I had to read up about different tax structures the other day, cause I had my CPA ask me like, well, what did you like file as? And I was an LLC, and he was like, yeah, but like there's other type, like that's not really like a thing. Like there's way more S, you know, all these different corporation structures, all these different tax liabilities. And I was like, oh yeah, two of those things. I mean, pick any part of life. Like, I don't feel probably qualified to be a great husband. Like, I don't feel qualified to be a great friend. Like, I don't know. I mean, you can point to all of it. And you would think that, like, with that though, like, I think I kind of walk with some level of confidence. Like, I don't really feel like I'm an imposter, because I don't really meet a lot of people who I feel like, oh, that person gets it too. Like, they're not an imposter as well. And when I do, actually get really, really, really excited, because that person's done like 10 times more work to get to where they are, and they can teach it, and it may be like half the time. So it actually really hypes me up. But I don't think any of, like, all of us are like poosling monkeys. Like, none of us are qualified to be doing any of the stuff that we're doing in my mind. Like, so I just don't really let it bother me anymore. Definitely, that's not to say that I don't have imposter syndrome. It's just I'm bad. Not the best. And it's also kind of why I like to do what we do. It's why I like to continue doing what we do. And I think if I felt really good at it, I probably would go do something else, but I know that this will carry me to the end of my life, and I'll still probably be shitty then too. Like, it's, I don't know. That's kind of my take on it. I have it. And then I'll say one more thing, which is like, I don't know if you guys are aware of what the Dunning-Kruger effect is, but the concept that really stupid people think that they're very capable at things, and really intelligent people always think they're very incapable at things. So I always try to think when I'm feeling incapable, or I feel like a sham or odd, which is once or twice a day, probably, honestly, it's like you're dealing with that bug and you're just like, oh my God, I've lied to everyone. Like, they're going to find out. Like, or like just little things like, I haven't written end-to-end testing. Like, 100% coverage. Like, of course, I'm like those Google level engineers. Like, guys are just like, I don't know. They just write testing on the, in their sleep. Like, but they also made Angular, so fuck them. like, so that effect, like when I have my ability, I have to be like, okay, that's a good thing. Like that means that I'm not like overconfident in my abilities, like a stupid person would be. And I try to just remind myself to be kind to myself, but not lose that perspective of being bad, because I feel like that's kind of what pushes me to be better.
I can say for me, I can't remember the first time that I felt imposter syndrome. It was definitely during boot camp, but I would say I felt it much more strongly at my first job when I, like the very first code base I got thrown into, it was React Native and I'd only known React. It was Redux. I didn't really know Redux. It was a lot of extra things that I had never seen before. And it was also iOS and Android. And these are two platforms that I've never developed against, that I've never worked with, really. So it was a lot of like, oh my God, there's a lot of new things here. And it was very overwhelming at first. And I can say now, like, especially just recently, having jumped into another new, very large code base with new things, it's gotten a little bit better, but there are still times where I'm just like, what am I doing? Well, there's a lot going on here. But I do agree with Dane, like something that's really helped me is just, I would say not trying to fake it till you make it, really, of just, okay, I'm here. I'm trying to stay as present as I can and not think too much about what's in the future or whatnot. If you do that, you're just going to get a lot of anxiety in my experience. I would say the other thing too is it's really hard because it's a human nature thing to do this, but to try and not compare yourself to others, that's just a weed that will grow in you and that will take over if you let it. So you really have to just nip it in the bud as much as you can. And there's a quote I love of like, don't compare yourself to others, compare yourself to where you were yesterday. And as long as you keep doing that and just keep day by day moving forward, it gets better, I think.
I totally agree with what both Dane and Brandon were talking about. And I think that's actually kind of an interesting thing for me that has evolved, like since like going from like the boot camp to like post boot camp to getting a job to now being in the job for like almost a year. I don't remember if there was any specific point, but at some point my perspective shifted to where, like, you know, I may constantly feel imposter syndrome in the back of my head. I may feel like, fuck, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. But I think for me, the perspective is, but I didn't know what I was doing at any point before this either. And I got here by sheer force of will and just banging my head against a fucking keyboard until I figured it out. And so that is my perspective that for me helps a lot to not let it, kind of like Brandon said, like grow into this disgusting weed that you're constantly comparing yourself to others and stuff. Cause really, like, I've turned that now for me is something that I see as just like a personal challenge and something I want to grow to be, where I look at like my teammates who are just these crazy big brain individuals that I want to be like so bad. And it just kind of, it sets that goal for myself. Instead of saying, man, I'm nothing like them, that sucks, it's damn, they're a lot smarter than me in this domain. How do I do that? How do I gain that knowledge? How do I get to that level? Right. So I kind of like slightly different than what Dane and Brandon said, but, you know, despite feeling imposter syndrome a lot, for me, it becomes something that is more of a motivation than a detriment to myself or my, you know, I don't know, my ego or my pride, I guess.
You guys remember that lady who, like, I forget, it was like a concert or I think it was like a public speech, who like didn't know sign language at all and was able to get on stage and like do the sign language. And so deaf people are like, you have no idea. That's not actually sign language. I feel like we just all need to channel her as our spirit animal.
Oh, she didn't know sign language.
No, she had. She was just doing nonsense with her hands. Like, let me see. I gotta look up where it was. I think it was like a concert or something.
She's just mouthing, "I'm so sorry," while she's just throwing up gang signs.
Yeah, but okay, that's
It was a Tampa police press briefing.
Florida, of course.
Yeah, she's Tampa.
She just fakes it. She's just moving her hands. She has no idea. But I mean, like, there's just so many. Like, sometimes I think about, like, oh man, they're gonna know I don't know that no shit about Kubernetes. And then I think about this woman who accepted the job, right? She had to apply knowing she had no idea how to do sign language, and then just went through with it. It's really quite it's a testament of human will. Like, I think it should be up there with, like, Sisyphus. I think it should be up there with the great Greek myths. Like, I am so impressed by this woman.
I think it is funny that you brought up Dunning-Kruger because, yeah, I think I'm sure there's someone a lot smarter than me that's maybe has talked about this more in depth, but yeah, it is funny how, like, I've been watching a few documentaries on Netflix I've watched recently that were about basically just con artists. And it is incredible to me, though, how there are some people who are just gifted. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like schizophrenia. I don't know if it's like, I don't know. I don't know what is in these people's minds, but to see the confidence and their ability to just absolutely master the ability of pretending to be something they are not. It is interesting. And I wouldn't say, I think there's a fine line in, like, when I'm maybe in my opinion, I think there's like Brandon said, I think there's definitely a degree of fake it till you make it. But I think, like Andrew said too, there's like this, I think you have to give yourself some credit and realize, like, okay, you were hired or you got into this boot camp or you, whatever the situation is, whether, yeah, like Dane said, you know, you're not capable of being a good husband or something, whatever weird, because like I said, I mean, I think at the beginning, I think imposter syndrome can seep into lots of areas of someone's life. And I think the first step is like recognizing, like, just kind of taking a step back from the situation and I guess trying to think through it and realize, like, hey, you're in this spot and, you know, people want you in that spot, and give yourself some credit. And it, just try to remember that, I think, is what I think that's what has helped me, I think. And just because, yeah, I think there's a few things at hand that are going on with yeah, there's a little bit of the fake it till you make it, but I think there's also a fine line between faking it till you make it and then just flat out, like, being someone that you're not. And I think I don't know how to draw that, like, line, or like, maybe if you guys can articulate it better than I can, if any of what I'm saying makes sense. But but I do think there is some, like, there is evidence, there is something factual or objective based that I think people who experiencing imposter syndrome, I think sometimes, like, they get tunnel vision and they kind of miss that part. And I think that's the part of it, of that experience, I guess. And if that makes sense, I'm kind of rambling.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think because we talk primarily to people who are coming out of boot camp, and that's kind of who the audience that we've been talking to, I think it's really important. One thing I never really realized is that if you're working a 40 hours a week job, which, I mean, out of boot camp, I was like 50 or 60, including like reading and doing stuff on my own. Not glorifying that. It's just the imposter syndrome was real. So 40 hours a week, you know, that's 2,000 hours you're going to spend coding or working craft, right? I think I underestimated the fact that like bootcamp gives you the thing to be successful, but you know, someone who's 4 years your senior, then if it's an average of 2,000 hours a year, that person literally has 10,000 hours of practice on you. There's a lot that comes through just coding over and over and over again. And I especially think some of the deeper talk, some of the deeper knowledge, some of the intuitive knowledge, especially if you're hopping between code bases, once you're hopping between frameworks and stacks and stuff like that, you start to really realize like, okay, like I recognize these common phenomena, mutability. I mean, you could go over like hundreds of things. It's mutability. But you see these patterns and how they're dealt with and how people deal with them, and it becomes much easier to generalize about it. But I would also say that there's kind of two ways that you can react to that feeling of like, I have no idea what I'm doing. To be real, I feel like that about almost everything that I do. I mean, especially if you're picking up a new skill, you're always going to do that, right? I mean, photography, literally just pick one. You're going to feel that way. It's just kind of two ways you can react to it. If your reaction is, okay, like, I don't know that. Let me write it down. Let me figure it out. You know, maybe that's something I'll set a time, some time every week to really know what's going on. Or maybe after work, I'll just watch a few YouTube videos. I usually like to ease into that. I like to like kind of get myself ready by listening to a lot of podcasts and stuff about it, or like some very conversational topics. And then I go deep into it, into like documentation or whatever it may be. But setting aside that time to learn, that's a really good workflow and habit to get in, because every single time you walk into a new project, new code base, new language, new framework, new paradigm, new architecture, new environment, new whatever, you're always going to run into that. There's always the tech stack is expansive, and it's expansive beyond the capabilities of a single person. It just always will be. That's why you have 30 engineers, right? I mean, that's why you have different parts of the stack and why you have all these things. They're inherently hard. So I don't think it's a bad idea to pull that. But if what is bad as a result of reacting to imposter syndrome, in my mind, is just to ruminate and be like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit. Like, I know that, you know, that I don't know this. They're going to find out, you know, and of course those feelings, I feel those feelings, but I think trying to spin it to a positive thing where it's like, let's spend some time figuring out how I can tackle these things, and then it becomes easier to tackle the next. You know, you literally have this network of things. You know, say you're tackling Kubernetes. Well, if you know you need to know Docker to know Kubernetes. But the first time you try and learn Kubernetes, you probably won't know that until like several pages into the document, that you need to understand the concept of containerization before you can even talk about it. I mean, there's so many times where like, once I learned something else, like went back to the docs, I was like, oh, like I didn't understand this. I didn't even understand the problem. Like, this is trying to solve a problem for a problem I haven't experienced yet, right? Like, if you're trying to orchestrate containers and you've never done Docker, you're just going to be like, what? What am I even talking about? So, I mean, you build that network and it becomes easier to learn things. But I think it's just always about taking that. You will feel it, and it will feel bad. At least I do. It feels bad to me. I feel bad. Feel embarrassed, especially working on a lot of design stuff right now. I'm not a designer. I haven't gone to design school. That's really hard. And people don't know how to give good design critique, because people just give what they want to, like what they like and what their sensibilities are. So that's also a really difficult thing. And so, yeah, I mean, you feel like that, but my result was to find a bunch of tutorials and just start hard moding it and then cranking out design after design. And I'm still not good, but I'm getting better, and I'm on a pathway, you know, and that's all I can do. You know, once again, like getting out of boot camp, you can't compare yourself. Even 1 year of experience is 2,000 hours. I mean, that's more than you're going to get in your boot camp for sure. It's way more than you're going to get in your boot camp. It's just about translating that into a positive outcome, in my opinion.
I have a couple points of things that, just aside from what I've already said, that really helped me with imposter syndrome. It's definitely something that just hasn't gone away for me, but it's gotten better. And I wrote a couple of them down. The first one is to acknowledge explicitly that it's okay to not know everything. And for me, this was an especial challenge because I want to know everything. I want to know how it works. I want to know the little details. I want to know where it's useful. When would I use this? When would I not use this? Like, there's a certain just level of curiosity I have as a person. And then to not know something and then to admit that I don't know, it was really hard for me at first. Now I will tell you, if you ask me a question, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I go read the docs, figure it out. It's gotten a lot easier, but that really helped me to be like, okay, I don't know everything. I don't need to know everything. I just need to know my little tiny piece of the island, so to speak. And as long as I can just get through whatever I'm working on right now, we'll be good. On that same note, the next point I have is to acknowledge small wins. So I think people they tend to think very big picture and they see like, okay, we got a big project done. Awesome. Like that's something I can add to my resume. But I think it's more equally as important to acknowledge like, oh, nice. Like I implemented that in a way that I like, or that was really clean or super performant or looks really nice on the front end, whatnot. Whatever those little small wins are, like write them down or just acknowledge them and just kind of be more intentional about doing that, I think really helps, because then what you see is then those add up over time and you can see all of those wins that you've gotten in the past and you're like, okay, like I'm not as far behind as I might be thinking, or I might, you know, I'm not as bad. It's not as bad as I'm, you know, digging myself a hole into here. So that really helps. Another thing is to talk to a mentor and to just have a conversation, be like, hey, I feel like I have no idea what's going on. I feel like I'm very far behind and I feel like I need a lot of help. And finding someone that you can go to with, you know, a plight, so to speak, like that, and to just have an honest conversation. And also to have someone who you can go to that will help you. And this really should be the role of a senior. But it might be your manager, it might be the tech lead, whoever it is on your team, go find that person and who you can just, you know, you can go to when you need help, really helps. Another point I have is be careful on social media. I personally don't really have social media anymore. And this goes back to really just comparing yourself to other people. It's really easy on social media because everyone presents the best version of themselves on social media. And so naturally, social media creates comparisons with others. So just be careful. And remember that people are presenting their best version of themselves on social media, or even GitHub or whatever public projects things are presenting. Just, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. And then the last one is I struggle a lot with perfectionism. I want to do things the right way. And I want to engineer in the best way possible. And I want to find the perfect solution to something. And I think I still struggle with this of like, it's okay if it's not perfect. Oftentimes the fact that it's not perfect is better because you're creating more business value, because maybe you did it in a slightly less optimal way, but you're able to build more features and provide more value for the users, whatever that ends up being. Just tackling that perfectionism, especially for me, has been really hard, but it helps.
The desire to be perfect can also lead you to spend a lot of time doing something that wasn't necessary, which I have done about a million times.
Yeah, over-engineering can, it's the hole that I think all of us will probably fall into. I've done it at past places too, where I'm just like, oh, here's a really cool way to do this, and it solves all of our problems, and it's perfect, and it's going to take a lot of time to develop it, but you know, it solves all our problems though, you know? So yeah.
I remember once being like, I really don't want to use React Router. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to like write some functionality to switch like the components based on like a navigation state that like pulls down, and then it'll pull down like the current window, and then it'll hand it. And after like 3 hours of doing this, I was like, oh, this is just React Router. Like, gosh, I should have just installed React Router.
Dude, I did the same thing with estate management. I was like, well, Redux? I don't need Redux. I can write this myself. I have a better way of doing this. I should not have done that, but it's here nor there.
Oh, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like one of those things where it's like, yeah, where I could get this like maintained package. And I know that, you know, there's, especially given all of the crazy stuff that's happening in Node land these days, I understand not wanting to bring package dependencies. And I feel like JavaScript is a giant ecosystem and Node has its own like security failings. So I hear that, but you need to hear that for every language. I don't care if you're not working in JavaScript, like it happens in every community. It happens. I mean, Log4j, anyone? Oh, like fight me. I mean, it happens a lot more in JavaScript, one, because the tooling in Node, like I said, and then also just because it's the largest ecosystem, right? Let's not have survivorship bias here. That's like an example of being a perfectionist when it's like, okay, but the bit, like, it turns out we asked you to build this feature. It took you 6 times longer than it was intended. And actually users don't want it. Our UX team has just informed our experimentation team has just informed us that they didn't care, in the end. So now you wasted 6 weeks for absolutely nothing. I am getting better at finding out where those are, because sometimes there's some pretty critical workloads where I should have spent more time on it, where I should have done the better, more performant implementation the first go around, and I went against my better judgment. But you can go the other way too. Perfectionism is pretty closely linked to imposter syndrome, to wrap that up.
Yeah, I think there could be a whole other episode done on just the art of over-engineering things and what goes on in that. I've done, yeah, because you said it pretty well, Brandon, where it's like at least for me, you can just get caught up in thinking that the thing you're doing is saving time or going to be so great, but you kind of get tunnel vision and don't even think about this. And then there's the sunk cost where it's like, all right, well, I've already spent this much time on this or whatever. And then, so it has to yield something, or it's just, and so anyway, I thought, but yeah, all of that, those were, yeah, I really like those points. Andrew, what about you? Like, are there any, I know you touched on a little bit in your, when you first were talking about your experience with imposter syndrome, but is there anything else or anything you do specifically to help manage when you go through imposter syndrome, or when you kind of feel that feeling?
I mean, if it's something that I'm feeling particularly, how should I put this? If it's something that I feel like I am very lost and like I cannot find my way out, then I think it was Brandon that mentioned, you know, having someone like a mentor type person that you can talk to and say like, hey, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what this is, et cetera, et cetera. And they can kind of help guide you to how to understand the thing that you're dealing with. Like, I'm very lucky, like in my current job, that I have really awesome teammates. I have a really amazing lead, and they are all super, super helpful. And so, you know, for me, because I switch back and forth between so many things, from like experimentation to SEO to normal code base stuff, I can just go to any of them and be like, hey, this task that got assigned to me, I have no idea where to start. And I feel like I'm just taking up too much time trying to figure it out on my own. And I can usually get help that way. So I think I'm very lucky. But I would also say, like, definitely part of it for like, kind of like I said before, building up that confidence of like, I made it here without, you know, having to have my hand held at every step of the way. Give yourself some credit. Like Dane said, it's like, I got to this point. Like if I need to, I can do it. But at that point, it becomes kind of a question of how much time am I spending because I have an ego and I can do it myself, versus I need to just go talk to someone whose specialty is this thing and say, hey, can you give me a little bit of guidance just so I don't take 2 days to complete a task that should take an hour? Which I guess that's a little, you know, more specific than just general imposter syndrome, but I guess that's the most how it relates to me lately.
What about you, Joey, with your hot tips and tricks on dealing with imposter syndrome?
I wish I knew. I don't really think I deal with it. I just kind of get through it, or just kind of struggle through it sometimes. I think for me, I've kind of toggled between like not feeling like a real dev when I'm doing certain things for work, and feeling like work I'm doing like isn't real work, or that it's just like very like baby work. And I don't know. I think I still struggle with that. I don't even think I've like really gotten through that. But I am, and kind of to Andrew's point, I have been trying to get better about raising questions about things when I am stuck, and not waiting, not trying to struggle. I'm trying to get better about not struggling through something and feeling like when something's put on my plate that I have to, I feel like sometimes I treat it as some kind of trial of like will, and I have to just spend some undetermined amount of time on this thing in order to, I guess, both understand the thing I'm doing, but then also produce the desired output of it, if that makes sense. And I'm trying to get better about not doing that as much and just immediately raising my hand and being like, hey, I don't think this is going to work, or the design that you're presenting to me, this just isn't going to, like, this won't work, or I think this is a better way. I think trusting your intuition, like my, I think I'm trying to learn and get better with trusting my intuition on things. I think in team settings, I think I tend to be, and this is a good thing, I think, but I tend to be pretty deferential and not, not super vocal, I guess, when in my own opinions on things, like, which is kind of weird because I'm pretty opinionated about just about everything. So it's just weird that it is a weird, I don't know why. It's probably a good thing that I'm like this, I guess. It's maybe it's a sign that I'm not a psychopath, but so how, I don't know if I've developed any strong methods for handling imposter syndrome, but it is, I guess for me, it feels like it's a work in progress. It's not, it's something that just is kind of like a revolving door, and learning how to, to navigate it is just kind of been, is something I think is I've gotten better at over time, and hope to get better at continually. And I think having the tools, like you mentioned, Brandon and Andrew and Dane, of just, there's just little things I think to remind yourself of, like, he's one of the first things I think you said, Brandon, was like, you know, celebrating little wins. And I think that's super important. I was going to say something like that before you brought that up, about how something I read recently about how when you're feeling stressed about work, to try to do at least one thing once a week that you can be proud of. And so, I thought that was cool. I was like, oh, like, it sounds kind of obvious maybe. But to me, I just had read that and I was like, oh, I really like that. And it's been something that, I'm trying to be more deliberate in and take an active effort in, both personally and professionally. So then I think sometimes at the end of the week or end of like a work day, it can feel kind of like, I'm sure you guys have had those days where you just kind of feel like you got beat up or you just took a pounding. And, I think it's important to step back. I think, again,
phrasing.
What did you say? I think it sounds, it's sustained. I think it stays.
I'm curious. What are your guys's? You had to put like a ratio of like, oh yeah, like I got, like I'm killing this, to like, I have no idea what I'm doing. What would you say the ratio is?
I would say it's pretty evenly split.
Like, really?
Yeah, like I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm killing it.
Yeah, I'm saying like, let's just say you're working on a project, whatever. Like, what is the like? Because I'd say like most of the time I'm spending time I'm on a project, I'm like okay, I can do this. Like I'm just working. There's like, I would say for every 5 times I feel like, oh, I have no idea what I'm doing, one time where I'm like, oh shit, like that was a cool implementation, or that was a cool little batch of code that I'd say that mine's more on the negative side, like 5 to 1, I would say.
Yeah, I guess if I were to really be really, like really, really honest, I guess it is definitely more on the negative. I think I just say I'm killing it because, or like would say it's a half split because I feel like I deliver the things that people need, and like I get things across the finish line that are helping get like projects done and stuff. But in terms of like knowing what I'm doing or feeling that way while I'm in the active pursuit of working on something, it's like, it's definitely in the negative. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, or I at least feel that way. So
I think partially like the, like, I think you should definitely give yourself some slack on that. And I think anyone should who's like in an associate engineer position or an associate dev position, whether front end, back end, like as an associate, I feel like so much of your job is literally just learning how to do the job, like learning how to understand the world that you're operating in. So to go back to Brandon's point about the small wins, like, you know, getting a deliverable on time is a win. Like, you did it. You figured it out. You got it delivered. You gave the people what they asked for. Hell yeah. You did your job and then some, right? Because as an associate, you're learning. It's more likely that you're probably going to fuck something up, or you're going to have to go to, you know, your senior or whoever it is, and they're going to send it back. Like, and that's just kind of the understanding. If you are an associate engineer and you are constantly putting up PRs that never come back with feedback, or you just don't need help from anyone, and you're just sending things in half the time they're supposed to take, you're a mid-level engineer stuck in an associate engineer position. Like, so I would definitely say give yourself some credit where credit is due. Like, it's, you know, every realm of it is different, but they're all hard, and there's a learning curve to all of them. And as an associate, yeah, you know, a win is a win, and a deliverable is a win.
I would say for me, probably like 9 to 1. Most of the time I feel pretty comfortable. And I think that's just because of the stage of where I am in my career. I'm like approaching senior level. I'm starting to get there. And so I can like definitely, if I compare the like the code bases, the first time I was thrown into a new code base and the amount of like anxiety I've had looking at the code or trying to figure out what's happening was significantly more for like the first few times. Whereas now it's like, okay, I know Python, I know React, I know Postgres. Like, I've seen these things before, different flavor, maybe a little different style to them, but like, I know them. I'm just, now I just need to figure out the business side, and I spend more time there. So it as you just expose yourself to more things and just learn new technologies and just get more comfortable, which is being okay with not knowing what's going on, it gets better, I would say.
Well, I enjoyed this conversation. I don't know if there's too much to say about it. Does anyone else have any other last thoughts about this?
I'm just going to add real quick to my last point about finding small wins. Something that I, like a practical thing I do to that is I'll go back and I'll look at previously completed tickets and just look through that list. Like, I did that before I left my last company. I was like, oh wow, I did a lot more tickets than I remember doing. Like, it's really nice. So I would say that's a good way to go back and just look through your Jira board of things that have been completed and be like, oh, that's right. Like, I remember doing this. I remember completing this. I remember finishing this and delivering it. Like,
yeah, I'll say on my end, because I don't have those like deliverables, can see my own pull requests and stuff like that, but like I don't have the same level of delivery. Seeing like a customer be excited using the product and seeing that it brought them actual value, like money in their pocket, that's super exciting and reinforcing for me. I genuinely do like creating products that make end users happy. I know DoorDash doesn't feel the same way. The engineers, they have to go on that dash like once a month and they were like up in arms about it. It, you know, a few more, I'm sure most like hyped, but I would say that like seeing my product in the world, like generating value for people and making like a difference, not like not trying to change the world or like of that nonsense, but just making someone's life a little better, their business work a little bit better. That's validation enough for me. And that's, you know, I figured that's enough to forgive me for all of the horrible code I've written, undoubtedly.
I like that. I think, Brandon, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something I think I'm going to start implementing, because the project management tool we use, not the biggest fan of it. Not going to name drop it, but
is it you drop it? What is
it? We use Asana, and it's fine. It's fine, but
Asana.
Okay.
No. Yeah, and the that is a good idea though, Brandon, because I don't really get to, like, I don't think there's a way for me to look at all the things I've completed, but it isn't something that's like just out and like obvious and like very easy to, well, it's like two clicks of a button, I guess.
Asana, how do you get all the work, all the steam in the room?
Oh my God, just note to the editor, just, you can just edit all this out. Just remove all of Dane's audio right here.
Keep all of it.
Packets are intact. I'm coming full force, baby.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, your video's just
This episode brought to you by Cox Communications. Hope you like internet sometimes.
Hope you don't need to do anything immediately.
Hey, you know, it's much better than when I was trying to seed a dev database with large amounts of data and then just dropping whole ass database. That was pretty awful. So thanks, Cox.
Oh, well, on that note, make sure you join us next week when Joey takes us through how to be professional on Twitter.
Oh my God. Delete your tweets, kids. Just delete your
Twitter etiquette 101 with Joey Jepson.
Oh my God! I need to make a moniker. I need to change.
I literally just try to get in fights on Twitter with everyone. I think you yelled at like the Arizona Sun Times today, like an old man, just like
Hey. Hey, you know what? They don't call me Joey Justice for nothing, all right?
No one calls you that.
God. All right, this episode's over.